Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the award-winning Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. We've covered a lot of news tonight and had a lot of fun doing it. It's Saturday evening, May 21st, if you can believe it, already that late in the year. Where is the time going? We're broadcasting to you tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Also, as we have been promoting and over the course of the last couple of weeks, going out to our newest affiliate station, AM 1600 WMQM, also right here in Memphis. Welcome, WMQM, and going out as well to the AM/FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. It's with my great pleasure that I now introduce our featured guest for the evening, a man that should be very familiar to anyone who has listened to the Political Cesspool for over a month or for as long as the last 7 years. He's been making frequent appearances, and each one of them is always a highlight. He is, of course, Reverend Ted Pike, the National Director of the National Prayer Network at truthtellers.org. Reverend Pike, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, James.
Well, it's my pleasure. I had an opportunity to talk with Reverend Pike last night, and I tell you, folks, if you haven't been to his website recently, you're missing out on a lot of important news. Reverend Pike, there is a lot taking place that you're covering at truthtellers.org that my listeners need to know. And typically when we have you on, we kind of focus on a central theme, but there's a lot of stuff hitting right now, and we're going to kind of jump around. Where should we start?
Well, I think the most important thing to start off with is the phenomenon of anti-Israel activism that's going on in the world today. I'm a veteran, of course, of the efforts going clear back, even to the early 1960s, up on the part of our family, who were radio commentators here in the Portland, Oregon area, to not only revive the conservative movement, but also to begin to shine some truth, even biblical truth, on the rise of Israel in the Middle East and its human rights abuses and so on. And it was very, very hard going back then, literally for 40 years, clear up till probably the turn of the century. But now we are seeing an overflowing of criticism of Israel worldwide. This, of course, began back with the invasion of the West Bank under Ariel Sharon around 2002, but is made much worse by the Operation Cast Lead invasion of Gaza several years ago, and then the flotilla massacre last May. But now the Jewish watchdog organizations are loudly proclaiming that there is unprecedented worldwide boycott and censure and divestment and antagonism toward Israel such as the world has never seen.
Yeah, you know, Ted, when we talk about this, two words I like to always infuse into the dialogue is objective criticism. You know, our critics like to dismiss us as if we're just some virulent, you know, anti-Semite, whatever that means. And I actually have a definition for it, and it's that an anti-Semite is any non-Jewish white person, and a neo-Nazi, that's another thing they like to dismiss people as who try to objectively look into what Israel's doing. I have a neo-Nazi defined as any person who openly disagrees with a Jewish person. But they try to dismiss any criticism of Israel, no matter how truthful, no matter how fact-based, with those two slurs. And now, as you've mentioned, it seems to have reached a critical mass, the likes of which they just can't dismiss anymore with baseless character assessments. And this is, or can be, a good thing as long as it stays, you know, fact-based. And certainly that's what your work is.
Absolutely. In fact, I got a recent fundraiser from the Zionist Organization for America, which is a very old pro-Zionist organization going clear back to the beginning of the 20th century. And let me just quote just a few statements out of this fundraiser. And obviously they're running to raise money from Jews, but I know that what they're saying here is pretty accurate. They say this new worldwide campaign by universities, media, churches, sports tournaments, public unions, theater people, and the United Nations, they say, is really an assault on the rights and self-determination of the Jewish people in their own homeland. But they say it's now spread like wildfire around the world. They say that South Africa's Bishop Tutu said, and I quote him, "I've been deeply distressed in my visit to the Holy Land. It reminds me so much of what happened to black people in South Africa." And it goes on to say professors like Norman Finkelstein speak at universities around the world calling Israel a quote-unquote terrorist state, a lunatic state, and an insane and satanic state from the boils of hell committing a Holocaust in Gaza. The Jewish Organization of America goes on to say organizations everywhere are calling for a boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel. This includes the North American University Professors Organization, academic groups throughout Europe, South Africa, and Australia, the Canadian Union of Public Employees, the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, and Lutheran and Presbyterian churches. And it says that, not surprisingly, 80% of the United Nations Human Rights Council's resolutions are targeting Israel alone. And furthermore, it says England and other countries are even threatening to arrest Deputy Prime Minister General Moshe Yaalon, Defense Minister Ehud Barak, Knesset member Tzipi Livni, and other prominent Israelis for war crimes and crimes against humanity. It says these Israeli leaders can no longer travel to those countries. And I might just add that the opinion polls throughout Europe, which are being taken constantly by Jewish organizations, show that in such countries as Hungary, a full 70% of inhabitants believe Jews have too much control. In Poland, it's 50%. In Spain, it's 50%, and so on. Even a poll that was taken a year ago here in the United States by a Jewish organization showed that more than half of the American people actually wished we could get out of Israel, stop supporting Israel, and coming back and mind much more important issues here in America.
Those are some pretty incredible statistics, and that is something you definitely wouldn't know was taking place. That kind of reaction that's taking place in Europe, you would not know if you relied on Fox News or CNN to give you your daily bread here. I'm sure that might surprise many listeners, although not listeners of this program. But that's something. Ted, what do you think is contributing to a lot of people becoming knowledgeable about the kind of state that Israel really is? Do you think it's the internet? Do you think it's a combination of the internet and their inability to regulate the exchange of ideas there, coupled with activists like yourself and outlets like Jeff Rentz and this show and others? Do you think it all kind of goes in together and it's just taken years for us to reach this point, or is it something else?
Yes, absolutely. The internet is crucial. We'll talk about that a little more in a minute.
We will. Reverend Ted Pike is our guest, and we are going to take our first break of the hour. He is going to be with us for the full hour, and you're not going to want to miss a single minute of it. Much, much more to come with our good friend and yours, Reverend Ted Pike.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, continuing on with a true American hero, Reverend Ted Pike, the director of the National Prayer Network. He has a lot of very interesting latest e-alerts, as he calls them, at his website, truthtellers.org. We're going to be digging into some of those, or as many as we can, in the time that we have available with Reverend Pike this evening. But first, he was covering with us during that first hour the progressing trend where a few years ago, a few decades ago, it was almost impossible to find people who were aware of the true nature of the state of Israel, and now more and more people are beginning to question some of the things they've always been told. They're beginning to objectively criticize Israel. They think that perhaps they do have too much power. They do have too much control. They are a recipient of too much aid. And what are we getting in return of that? Reverend Pike, before we continue on with the topic you were bringing to our attention during that first segment, I want to ask you this, and this isn't too far off the beaten path, but what do you make of Obama's big announcement this week? Do you think that he's just playing politics and using the media to kind of diffuse some of this criticism, or is there something there?
Well, I think that there's an upheaval, particularly in the among the liberals and the left wing. In fact, we are experiencing the first large demonstration just today in New York City by Code Pink and something like 100 other left-wing organizations, anti-Zionist left-wing organizations, who are not only protesting Netanyahu's arrival and speech before AIPAC, but are also wanting to sound off to the world in as dramatic a way as they possibly can the great abuses by Israel in Gaza. And I've been trying, in fact, all day long to get some information about those protests, but incredibly, they seem to be moveoverisrael.org seems to be unable to get up any video. They've been promising videos all day. None of them are getting here. I have a pretty good idea there may be some sabotage going on as the Jewish supremacists are trying to keep any kind of publicity about that those events from getting out to the American public. But Obama is sensitive to a large degree to this left-wing contingent rapidly increasing in America as well as worldwide. And in fact, as you mentioned, in his long speech to the U.S. State Department earlier this week, he stated very clearly that there are great winds of change blowing across the Arab world, and that also includes the Palestinians. And as we are all aware, just a week or 10 days ago, a representation of the descendants of several million Palestinians, children and grandchildren of those who were exiled, literally driven from their full farms and orchards and businesses and so on, back in 1948, driven out into shantytown concentration camps. They descended upon Israel during the Nakba, which means catastrophe, of what happened on May 15th in 1948, and tragically some 15 of these demonstrators were killed, I think primarily those who broke through the barriers from Syria into the Golan Heights area. But Obama is very aware of this rising upheaval of Arab nationalism, not only throughout the Arab world, but also the Palestinians. And one of the great values of this Nakba demonstration was it focused the whole world upon a simple and very forgotten issue. We've gotten all of this love Israel propaganda over the last half century, which says that Israel was birthed by miraculous divine intervention from God. God fighting for Israel is in the Old Testament, and so on. But what the Nakba demonstration is showing to the world very graphically is that Israel was really founded on brutal terror, beginning with the Deir Yassin massacre of several hundred innocent sleeping Arab villages in spring of 1948, and the terrorist groups, the Irgun and the Stern Gang under Shamir and Begin and so on, whipped up more terrorism and blasted loudspeaker messages throughout Judea, warning all Arabs to flee their businesses and homes and so on, including many Christian Arabs. And 800,000 Arabs fled in panic, feeling that they would also be butchered by Israel. Now, that's the reality of how the state of Israel was formed, not God coming down and delivering his chosen people. And these facts are blasting out to the world, beginning to insert themselves in the dialogue of the nations as never before. And I believe Obama is recognizing that, is reflecting that, and therefore he's basically emboldened to basically stand by the American position on the creation of a Palestinian state, which says that America will insist that if a Palestinian state is formed, that it must it will be confined within the pre-1967 borders, which would mean that Gaza, the West Bank, and East Jerusalem would be part of this new state. This infuriated, of course, the Jewish community here in America and worldwide. Netanyahu, according to reports, tried in vain to persuade Obama, the White House, to delete these terms, and he failed. Obama refused. And anyway, the Jewish Organization of America, which I just quoted, they marshaled their groups demanding that Obama be canceled from his speech to AIPAC this weekend.
Yeah, it was very much a it was just a hysterical reaction to Obama's speech and his proposal, although his proposal didn't really differ that much from what was, quote unquote, the official stand of the ardently pro-Zionist Bush administration. They always feigned support for a Palestinian state while they continued to allow Israel to do whatever they wanted, and while they continued to pour billions of dollars worth of American taxpayer money into Israel. So it remains to be seen if Obama has a little more teeth than Bush did. And not to say that we are supporters of Obama, but you know what they say, a blind hog still finds that acorn every now and then. And if he is serious about this, and if he sees it through, which I'm still skeptical, but that would be something that I'd very much have to give him credit for. But of course, that all still remains to be seen, but it doesn't take away from the theatrics of it all. Very interesting developments going on, not just in public opinion, but even in the White House, as we continue to follow this issue, Ted.
Yes, and as you mentioned earlier, the Internet has played an absolutely crucial role in helping bring new truth to the nations, leaping over the traditional media barriers that used to exist back before the turn of the century. I remember in 1982, Israel bombed the daylights out of southern Lebanon, killing 19,500 innocent refugees in saturation bombing, and there was literally virtually no protest from the Western world. Only a couple of syndicated columnists, including Georgie Ann Geyer and William Sapphire, even breathed a word of criticism. The romance about Israel was absolutely total. She was riding very high, but now exactly the opposite has happened as a result of the Gaza invasion 2.5 years ago, as a result of the botched terrorist attack on the flotilla, the pre-Gaza flotilla last spring, and now the Nakba demonstration. All of this is having a tendency, lubricated by the Internet, to reach an incredible number of people in the world, and many people, out of nothing more than righteous indignation and common decency, are turning against Israel.
Don't go away. The political.
Yeah, we're listening to you, Ted. Got to take a break. If you can just hold up right there, my friend, we're going to continue on right after these words from our sponsors. Stay tuned, everybody. Reverend Ted Pike coming back at you right after these words.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this
place. If it's the last thing we ever do. Time always flies when we have Reverend Ted Pike as our guest here on the Political Cesspool radio program. He is, of course, our featured guest once again this evening, and he presents this information in such a logical and concise way. He is truly one of the best of the best. And if you go to his website tonight, truthtellers.org, you are just going to be overwhelmed with all of the important information that you need to know. Just in the last few days alone, Ted Pike has joined another one of our friends, Jeff Rentz, on his radio program. The two of them discussed heightening racism and violence in Israel, which is, of course, abetted by the Israeli First Christian Zionist Evangelicals. In addition to that, some of the featured articles at truthtellers.org this evening, Reverend Ted Pike provides commentary on how heckling could sabotage free speech at the AIPAC conference, Jewish supremacists using the Darwin theory of evolution to corrupt mankind, and, of course, that new TV show on ABC that you've read about both at truthtellers.org and thepoliticalcesspool.org. Ted, where do we go from here? A lot to cover.
Well, one of the benefits of mounting criticism of Israel is that it really opens a Pandora's box of much greater concerns for the inhabitants of the whole world, because even though Israel is a small country, and it is attacking a beleaguered Palestinian population. Once people begin to speak out against Israel, there's a certain hex, a certain curse that is broken. You see, for the past century, the evangelicals have been telling us, with the encouragement of ADL and the Zionists, that anybody who criticizes Israel, criticizes the Jewish religion, or criticizes Jewish supremacism is somehow offending God, because he is attacking or cursing
yes.
the apple of God's eye,
yes.
the Jewish people. Now, when Israel's misbehavior in the Middle East becomes so egregious and so repeated, so obvious and blatant, that even good people are saying, hey, this offends my basic Christianity, this offends my basic human compassion and morals and so on, and they take that step of faith and say, okay, I'm going to criticize Israel, I'm going to dare, if you will, I'm going to dare God to strike me with a thunderbolt, and they find that they haven't been struck with a thunderbolt, they haven't been cursed for cursing God's chosen people, then, once that happens, they're liberated to begin to look outside of Palestine, and what they find is massive Jewish supremacist control everywhere, especially in the Western world, in media, in government, in finance, in education, in the White House, in war-making potential in the Middle East, making the Middle East safe for Israel through U.S. wars and all of this. And so there's a proliferation, there's an expansion, actually quite exponentially, of new truth that comes to people everywhere. Now, the left, over the last year or two, has picked up and actually has more conscience than the evangelicals themselves have concerning Israel's abuses of the Palestinians. But the left right now is hoping that it can contain the issues simply to the occupation, the quote-unquote occupation in Palestine, and they hope that if they can get Gaza freed and get things opened up for freedom and maybe a separate Palestinian state, that the problem is going to go away. Well, it's not going to go away, because literally for 2,000 years, Talmudic Jews have been boring themselves into the government, into the finances, into the commerce, into the media of the nations. And what they find, what the liberals are going to find, who want to be anti-Zionists, or what we have known for decades here on the so-called far right, is that this so-called Jewish problem is much greater, much more pervasive than anybody on the left has ever dreamed.
Yeah, you can't argue with that at all if you are privy to the facts and you open your mind. And I say this as a Christian, and Ted, obviously you're a fellow brother in Christ. You know, this is something, one of the most basic arguments you have when you begin to explore the Jewish question and whether or not they truly are our friends or allies, is you have to battle this indoctrination that has begun to infect the church, especially over the course of the last 50 or 60 years. And this is a problem that the church did not used to have. But this, Israel first worship of the Zionists is something, that has taken over that institution, just as they have infiltrated so many of our institutions. And you now have so many good and decent Christians believing that if you ever say anything that is not just completely complimentary or positive of Jewish power and influence, that you're condemned to hell. And that is one of their greatest tricks that they've ever been able to pull. And obviously it's not biblical to objectively criticize people who are doing evil. And this is something that, we need the Christian church and these Christian congregants to be on our side. And right now, at least on this one question, they're not. But things are, as we've been covering this hour, slowly beginning to turn, and we have reason to take hope.
They certainly are. And outside of the Middle East, one of the very greatest eye-openers for people, which we at the National Prayer Network have helped facilitate, is the fact that Jewish supremacists, particularly the Anti-Defamation League, have played the foundational role in bringing hate crimes laws particularly to the nations of the Western world. And of course, most people are familiar with how I have battled the federal hate crimes laws and other kinds of hate laws, especially informing other nations, in fact, that the ADL is also there in Eastern Europe, in Australia, now even in South America and Turkey and other countries, trying to start up hate laws, bringing those people into bondage to ADL thought police and ending free speech. And as a result of the incessant warnings from our National Prayer Network that the ADL is behind hate laws, that Jewish supremacists are interested in persecuting Christianity and taking away our First Amendment liberties, many, many evangelicals are now coming to our website, truthtellers.org. We literally have thousands of evangelicals communicating with us. They come and they listen to our twice-weekly Bible studies there, and they're getting educated. Of course, when you've got 70 million evangelicals in the world, that's just a drop in the bucket, but it's a good beginning. It's an unprecedented beginning. And not only have the hate laws opened up many people's eyes, but the Jews in Hollywood particularly have really assisted us in persuading people that there's something very wrong, that the media is not a fair and dispassionate purveyor of news to the American public, but rather has a very, very determined anti-Christian agenda, anti-freedom agenda. And I point out in this latest article that you were just referring to, this latest attack by Disney, by Robert Iger and his homosexual producer. I forget his name right at the moment, but he's a homosexual Jewish producer of Melrose Place and Sin in the City and so on. They're planning on putting out this reviling series, Good Christian Bitches, on Disney-owned ABC this fall. And we've gotten a huge response from my article on that. But we at the National Prayer Network, as you, have been battling a succession of very anti-Christian aspersions, attacks on the founder of Christianity, Jesus, and his church over the years. I think people who've been reading truthtellers.org are familiar how we exposed the Jewish role in promotion of the Da Vinci Code, and certainly the Last Temptation of Christ back in the 1990s. The National Prayer Network actually sent out a flyer to 192,000 pastors, evangelical pastors in America, thoroughly informing them of the Jewish origins of the Last Temptation, how similar it was to the Talmud. And around the turn of the century, a national Jewish leader admitted that basically what we had done in informing the church of the Jewish origins of the Last Temptation constituted what he called the greatest disaster in Christian-Jewish relations in the past century. But I think largely as a result of this exposure of the Jewish origins of these blasphemies, the Jews have held back. They were pushed back after the Last Temptation. They were pushed back after this spate of anti-Christian films and so on several years ago. Now they're coming out of their holes in the ground again, trying to vilify Christ and his followers through this new sitcom on ABC. And I'm just calling the American people, and especially Christians, to not just write ABC, not just say they're going to boycott products, but boldly start speaking out now on the internet, on talk radio, and letters to the editors, pointing out the very decidedly and pointedly Jewish animus against Christianity that's coming through the media.
Reverend Pike, let's hold it right there, my friend. We're going to take one last break, ladies and gentlemen. Ted Pike is going to be with us for some closing thoughts right after this. We gotta get out of this place.
place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell her, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the final segment of tonight's final hour of the Political Cesspool Radio program. Of course, we'll be back with you next week, live, unrehearsed, and uncensored on the Liberty News Radio Network. But helping us wrap things up this evening, Reverend Ted Pike, we're putting the icing on the cake of what has been an incredible and riveting interview with Reverend Ted Pike, as they always are. And Ted, you know, we were talking in that last segment about, well, throughout the whole hour, about how people are now becoming more and more aware of what Zionism, the problems that Zionism presents to America and to the world. More and more people are beginning to speak out as they become educated, and they're beginning to objectively criticize a lot that the Jewish supremacists are attempting to do. Of course, here in America, we have a closed media. Europe, as bad as it is in terms of hate crimes laws, they do have a little bit more of a free exchange of ideas, as ironic as that may sound. It seems as though they're a little further down the road in terms of being aware of some of these issues than we are, and they, of course, have competing political parties. But nevertheless, you know, you look at it, and this gets back to something we addressed in the last segment. You've got so many Christians who now believe that if you say anything critical of Israel, you're condemned to hell, and so therefore everything that they do is inspired by God. And you look at the facts, you step back from, you know, for a moment, and you realize that, first of all, Christian churches did not teach this prior to a few short decades ago. And even now it's apostasy, but nevertheless, you look at the media. And we talked about that horrible show that's being produced by Jewish-run ABC. You know, evangelical Christians love, Ted, to criticize all the antichrist filth that they can find in modern-day movies and television shows. And this is just one example. But they never get down to the common denominator here. They will never, you know, connect the dots or follow the breadcrumb trail and say, well, my God, the heads of all of these television studios that are producing this trash are Zionist Jews. The head of all of these movie studios that are producing this are Zionist Jews. And that is without question. That is not an exaggeration. And that's not to say, we always have to issue this little caveat, there are certainly some Jews out there that are part of the solution. There's exceptions to prove every rule, and we work with a lot of good people who are of Jewish descent, and we have them on this show. But by and large, the root of most of the evil in this world comes from radical Zionism, and I just don't understand, Ted, why people can't make that logical conclusion. They say that liberals are the problem, you know, or some other abstract thing. Liberalism certainly is a problem, but you take a look at the people who are actually involved in putting these policies into practice, and I just don't see how there can be such a disconnect.
Well, of course not. The problem is that we have a very deeply programmed and brainwashed evangelical world, probably 50 million are strongly pro-Israel. Now, this goes back a full century, has been thrust on them not only by the Jewish media and Jewish educational organizations like ADL and so on, but by our own seminaries, by our own Bible studies, by our own pulpits in America. And so it's very deeply ingrained. And I believe it's a real act of divine providence that in lieu of the Church of God speaking out, evangelical churches speaking out as they should, God is raising up the liberals who are baby killers, who are pro-sodomite and so on, but they are nevertheless speaking out as they are in New York City right now very powerfully and strongly against this injustice. And it's a strange and tragic commentary upon the evangelicals that even people who kill babies have more conscience about dying Palestinians and children of in Palestine who are being shot by the Israelis than does the Church of God. Certainly this does confirm Christ's prediction that in the last days, even the very elect, if possible, will be deceived. I have a new article that's just coming out tomorrow night on truthtellers.org. It's called Israel's Unpopularity Means Hope for Mankind. And what I'm pointing out is that even though WorldNet Daily just put up an article by the Jewish talk show host Michael Savage saying in very pointed language that all these nations that are coming against Israel are actually going to bring war and the arrival of Antichrist coming against God's chosen people, right. I say the opposite. I say that this is a fresh wind of truth and reality and compassion, just not coming from Satan, not coming from Antichrist, but is coming from the mercy of God to the world. He does not want the world to be submerged in a Judaic New World Order. He does not want the Jewish media controlling our youth and corrupting them. He does not want the Jewish supremacists controlling war-making powers, elitist, and even further involvement in the Middle East. God is wanting his people to call to him, return to a biblical perspective on Israel, which calls, according to the warnings of Jesus and the apostles himself, to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and know that the Jews are enemies, the apostate Jews are enemies of the cross, and so on. These are fresh winds which must not be regarded as anti-Semitic and twisted and evil and antichrist. These fresh winds, even that Obama is talking about in Palestine and so on, are merely the expressions of decency and common humanity and justice, which Christians should not shun and avoid. The Christians should embrace and support.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody, I tell you, you've got to support this man's work. There is no more eloquent spokesman for this issue, for the Christian right as we battle against Jewish supremacism and Antichrist Zionism. We have no better spokesman than Reverend Ted Pike, and he has been doing this. He is such an inspiration, been doing this for years and years and years. He's been coming on this show since our very inception in 2004, and he has been at this for quite a long time prior to that. He's a man who has and deserves my utmost respect and yours, and you can read more about his work and get plugged into his email list and his e-alerts at truthtellers.org. Ted, we have about 2 minutes left. Anything you'd like to say in closing that we haven't covered yet? And as long as we've been on the air tonight, nearly an hour, we're still only scratching the surface of some of the latest news your website features.
Well, I think in addition to all the political that we have talked about today, God is calling his people to return in repentance, in fasting and prayer, in contrition before the God that gave us this great nation. And what that whole National Prayer Network is all about is stimulating intercession, stimulating a return to true biblical ethics concerning Israel. If we go to the very Bible of the evangelicals and fundamentalists, we find more than two dozen powerful verses clear back in the Mosaic Law, stating in the clearest possible language that the Jewish people as a nation may never, ever occupy God's holy land, which is a symbol of heaven itself, except in obedience and justice and righteousness and mercy, and certainly in obedience to Jesus Christ, who is the great lover of Israel and Israel's archetypal spiritual husband. And those verses are so out front, so obvious and clear that no evangelical, especially no evangelical leader or Bible school teacher or televangelist, has any excuse for ignoring them and hiding them and pushing them under the rug from the awareness of his people. We need to return to the authority of the Old Testament and the Bible, and especially the Old Testament these days, because the Old Testament provides this kind of mega firepower against the Zionist evangelical claim that all Jews have a right to Palestine, even in unbelief. This is apostasy. This is blasphemy against the law of God. And we need, as in the time of Josiah in the Old Testament, to rediscover the law of God and turn from it and flee Babylon the Great, which is modern Israel.
Reverend Ted Pike, God bless you, buddy, and God bless your work.
Thank you so much, James. Couldn't do it without you.
Hey, listen, I feel certainly that way about you in reciprocation, and we look forward already to your next visit with us.
Thank you so much.
Reverend Ted Pike, truthtellers.org. Check it out. Support his work. And ladies and gentlemen, that brings to a close another live broadcast of your favorite radio program, The Political Cesspool. On behalf of my entire staff and crew here in Memphis, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, and of course Keith Alexander, in addition to our crew at Liberty News Radio in Utah, I am your host, James Edwards, inviting you to join us once again next week right here on The Political Cesspool. And we'll see you at that time. God bless you, and remember to live life the way we do, without retreat, surrender, or apology. See you next Saturday, everybody.
Thanks for joining us tonight in the Political Cesspool. To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.